Have your Bibles, turn back to what the brother just read, Psalm 96. Psalm 96. Now, I thank God for the privilege of being here tonight. You know, one thing that I am guilty of, I don't praise Him enough. You know, each and every day of our lives, He blesses us so many times. And as I look at my life, down through my life, I've always been His sheep. He's always took care of me, even whenever I didn't know Him, didn't want nothing to do with Him, because the Bible says that back before the foundation of the world, that He placed people in His Son. And I thank Him for that. I thank Him for His love. I thank Him for His mercy. He shows me each and every day of His life. There's so many blessings that He gives me that I don't even think about. And there's so many times that I don't thank Him the way that I should. And I don't worship Him the way that I should. For He is so great. He is such a wonderful, wonderful God. You know, in this Psalm 96, it's a psalm of praise. You know, it says, let us sing unto the Lord. We could never sing unto the Lord the way that He deserves to be sung to, but one day we will be able to. And I look forward to that day. You know, the Pharisees and the Jewish leaders, they firmly held to the belief that God's grace, His everlasting covenant, should relate only to the descendants of Abraham after the flesh. And they wanted to mix work with grace. But if blindness had not occurred, Israel would have seen that God always had plans of election for us Gentiles as well as the Jews. The Holy Spirit's design in Psalm 96 was to give the Gentiles a song to celebrate the conversion of the nations of Jehovah, our Lord, in gospel times. We come together to worship our God, the Lord Jesus Christ, and all glory goes to our Lord. Man deserves no glory at all. It's our Lord's work and praise alone. In this first verse right here of this psalm, it says, oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. Let's, if you will, turn your Bibles over to Revelation chapter 5. Let's see what that new song is. Revelation chapter 5. Look at verse 9. And it says, and they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book, to open the seals thereof, and thou wast slain, and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. How does it make the Lord's sheep feel whenever they hear or read about the glory of our God? You know, in this world, it's full of heartache and trouble. It brings us peace, and it's His peace that He gives us to His children. You know, there is no peace in this world. I've been around long enough to know that you get through one problem, and then another one pops up. But the peace that God gives us is not of this world. Our Lord says in John, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Talking about Christ Jesus our Lord. My peace I give unto you. Then He tells us, let not your heart be troubled, and neither let it be afraid. You know, whenever I read God's word where it says that Christ Jesus come in this world to save sinners, and I know I'm the chief of sinners, it makes me feel good because I know He's coming in this world to save me. But whenever He says, peace I give unto you, sometimes I have a harder time thinking about that, and I get my eyes off of Christ and get my eyes on my problems and things that God keep giving me problems. But He will truly give us peace if we'll keep looking to Him and putting Him first in our lives. You know, He says, oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. You know, as His child, it would do me good to think on Christ daily and many times during the day. You know, I'm not a singer, but that doesn't mean that I can't meditate upon His word. There's so many promises in His Word that are so wonderful for His children, you know, and on His love. You know, He is truly my refuge, and He's my hiding place from the storms of life, and that's something that we all experience. And what's so good about that, you know, His Spirit of Jesus, He lives within our hearts. I love what Joshua said. He says, don't let your heart be. Don't worry about things. He's with you. He's close to you wherever you're at. He lives within our hearts. He's never far away. He's always there, and we believe that because His Word tells us that. You know, He says that He will never leave us nor forsake us. And whenever we sing, I need to sing to the Lord. When I sing to the Lord, I need to know that I'm singing to the Lord. I'm not singing to the congregation. I'm not singing to be heard, but I'm singing to my God. You know, there's in the songbook that we've got, are they not so many beautiful songs in there that gives praise to our God? And that's wonderful. But let us sing from the heart to the Lord, because it's from the heart that the Lord hears. And it says, all the earth sings unto the Lord. Psalm 150, verse 6 says, that everything that hath breath, praise the Lord, praise ye the Lord. And then in verse 2 here, he says, sing unto the Lord, bless His name, and show forth His salvation from day to day. Bless His name. You know, he has many, many names in the Bible, but one verse of Scripture that comes to my mind that blesses me so much, and I know it blesses all of us, is Isaiah 9:6. It says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The government shall be upon His shoulders, and His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor. I've heard people say that ought to be one word right there. He's a Wonderful Counselor. There's not a problem that we face in this life that this book right here don't have an answer for it. And even He says that His name shall be called Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. The Bible says that in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead body, and that we are complete in Him. He is our righteousness. The Bible says that in Him is the fullness of the Godhead body, and His name is to be blessed. His frame, His character, His revealed word, and His will are to be delighted in and remembered with thanksgiving and with much reverence. In verse 2 of our text here, it says, show forth His salvation from day to day. You know, there's nothing in this world that declares the glory like his salvation. You know, He says, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. You know, His salvation outshines His glory, His creation, and providence. To save a lost sinner, look what it took. It took the blood and the life of His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. Whenever He created this world, all He had to do was just to speak it into existence. But to save a lost sinner, His Son had come to this earth, born of the seed of a woman, lived, and He died on the cross and shed His blood so that a sinner may be saved. And He came and He fulfilled the law. He was obedient to His Father, and He fulfilled the law perfectly, and He died for our sins. And the Bible says in Romans, speaking of God's elect, being justified freely by the grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Martin Luther once said that Christ is now as fresh to me as He had if He had shed His blood just an hour ago. If it be the Lord's will, may we grow closer to our Lord each and every day of our lives and realize how precious He is. Because in each and every day of our lives, we're getting closer and closer to meeting Him. I can't wait for that day to come. When we proclaim Him by His word, we do it by deed, we do it by song, and it's to be from the heart, and not just head knowledge. We do it by hearing wonderful sermons, by assurance baptism, by the Lord's Supper, and then by coming and worshiping Him on Sunday and weekday services. Everything should bring us to a deeper experience of our saving God. If you will, turn over to Colossians chapter 3. Hold your place here. Colossians chapter 3. We don't know how blessed, or I don't know how blessed I am, but I have this. This is the most precious thing I have in my possession right here. That is the Word of God. But in Colossians chapter 3, you know, there's so many pieces of Scripture that is in past tense. It's already happened. In the eyes of God, it's already happened, you know. But it says, look here in chapter 3 of verse 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above and not on things of the earth. Listen to this. For you are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. And then when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, what does it say? Then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Then look at 1 Peter chapter 2. Verses 9 and 10. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. He's talking to his elect here, his chosen people, whom he placed in Christ before the foundation of the world. It says, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who have called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which have not obtained mercy, but now have attained mercy. And if we go back to our text, Psalm 96, it says here in verse 3, declare his glory among the heathen, his wonders among all people. You know, all too often in this world that we live in today, Jesus has been dishonored in this world. A writer wrote this one time right here, and I don't really know who wrote it, but it says, his glory shines from every ray of light that reaches us from a thousand stars. That's because he made the thousand stars. It sparkles from the mountaintops that reflect the earliest and retain the last ray of the rising and the setting sun. His glory spreads over the expanse of the sea. It circles the earth with a zone of light and flings beauty over it. Everything in this earth shows his glory. The animals, the falling of the water, the singing and the flight of the birds, the revolutions of the planet, its height, its depth, its wonders, and its mysteries. You know, Christ Jesus our Lord, he wears the crown. He sways the scepter and he receives from all a tribute to his sovereignty over all. And we have so much to rejoice in that and to meditate upon that. You know, if you will, look at Colossians 1. Verse 12. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. You see, this is in past tense also. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have received, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. Then the Bible says, for by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and they were created for him. Listen to this. And he is before all things, and it is by him that all things consist. And I love this part right here. He is ahead of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father in him that all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. You know, in the person of his Son, the Lord has displayed wonders of love, wisdom, grace, and all glory to be to his precious name. And you know, the gospel is a story of redeeming grace and dying love. In Ephesians, it says, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, he hath quickened us together with Christ, by grace are you saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward who? Toward us, through Christ Jesus. Nothing is so glorifying to God as the salvation of a lost sinner by the precious blood of his dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. How do we see Christ? We see him in his word. We see his goodness there. And we see his many, many blessings there. If you will, turn back to your text. Verses 4 and 5. It says in verse 5, for all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. You know, the world as a whole has many idols. And there's a lot of people that worship these idols as their god. But what does God's word say? It says over in Corinthians, but unto us, speaking of his elect, he says, but to us there is but one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we in him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by him. And we know that the Bible says in 1 John, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Then in the 14th verse it says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and full of truth. And as his elect, we can never praise him too much. That's something that I need to realize. We can never praise him too much. We can never praise him too often. For the Lord is great, and he is greatly to be praised. In Jeremiah it says, thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but listen to this. But let him that glory in this, that he understand and knoweth me, that I am the Lord. And what does he do? He exercises loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things, he says, I delight. That blesses my heart, saith the Lord. Then back in our text, in Psalm 96, in verse 4, it says here, for the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. He is to be loved. He is to be respected. He is to be honored. And he is to be worshipped. He is to be reverenced. David said it well in Psalms 23. When he said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Although I walk through this valley, shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For I know that thou art with me. Then he says, I'll prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies, and I anoint my head with oil. Then he says, my cup shall run over. And he says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's our future, brothers and sisters. And it's something that we've got to look forward to. You know, the Bible says in many places that, as I said, that there is one God. In Isaiah, it says, "Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. I am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior." In verse 5, God's word says that all the gods of the nations are idols. And as we read earlier in Colossians 1:16, all things are created by him and for him. And in verse 6 here of our text, it says, "Honor and majesty are before him, strength and beauty are in his sanctuary." You know, his throne is a throne of honor and righteousness. Glory and strength are found nowhere except with the Lord. And what's so great is his people. Through the blood of Jesus Christ, we are able to go to his throne at any time through our great high priest. You know, the love of God for his people are in Christ. 1 Corinthians says, "But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God has made unto us wisdom and righteousness, sanctification and redemption." The Bible says in Hebrews 13:15, this is something I wished I could do daily, would do daily. And that is, it says, "By him therefore let us offer up the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks unto his name." In verse 7 here, it says, "Give unto the Lord, O ye kindreds of the people. Give unto the Lord glory and strength." We do that by offering up prayer and thanksgiving, by worship and praise, and by doing it from the heart, and by giving God glory for all things. You know, he is absolute sovereign in all things, whether it be creation, salvation, but in all things, providence. With full sincerity of heart when it comes to worship, prayer and praise, love and faith and repentance. And we need to realize that God looks at the heart. You know, in verse 8 here, it says that, "Give unto the Lord the glory due his name, bring an offering, and come into his courts." We can do this only in Christ, Christ alone. There is no love of God outside of Christ. But we can bring an offering and come to his courts. But when his people bring an offering, it's an offering of thanksgiving. Why? Because the Lord Jesus Christ has already shed his blood for our sins. It's already been given. Verse 9 here, he says, "I worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear him in all the earth." You know, as I said, we must be reverent, sincere, earnest, and pure in our heart, in our prayers and our praise, realizing his holiness. That's a lot of times I don't do that, realizing his holiness and his righteousness and his goodness and his power and his glory, and it's forever and forever. What's good about that? Not only do we belong to him, he belongs to us as his elect people. And then in verse 10 here, it says, "Say among the heathen that the Lord reigneth." That right there blesses my heart. You know, "The world also shall be established that it shall not be moved. He shall judge the people righteously." You know, the Lord reigneth. And this is the greatest news that can be told. The Lord Jehovah, in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ, he has assumed the throne. You know, the Lord Jesus is full of untold blessings. Matthew 11:30, he says, "My yoke is easy, my burden is light." You know, all believers will declare that God rules over all the affairs of man. And in spite of this world, the way that we see it, the chaotic experience, to the contrary, and in spite of the turmoil and the threats that we see in this world, there's one thing that we must realize in the developments that are taking place. Kings and presidents and all that think that they're running the world, but God is in absolute control of everything. And everything in this world that's going on right now is going along exactly the way that our Lord wants it to go. In Daniel, he said, "All the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. And I do according to my will among the inhabitants of heaven and the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And none can stay my hand or say, what doest thou?" And then our Lord said in Matthew, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." And then in our text, 96, verses 11, 12, and 13, it says, "Let the heavens rejoice and let the earth be glad. Let the sea roar and the fullness thereof. Let the field be joyful and all that is therein. Then shall all the trees of the wood rejoice before the Lord. And listen to this. For he cometh to judge the earth. He shall judge in the world and with righteousness, and the people with truth. Verse 13 says that he cometh to judge the world in righteousness, and the people with truth. I like what God's word says in Titus. And this is something that we have something to look forward to. It says in Titus chapter 2, it says, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who redeemed us from all iniquity. I thank him for that. And purified unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. As God's elect, we have so much to be thankful for every day. And we have so many promises. And what is so good is that God is absolute sovereign. And all of his promises will come to maturity. They will happen. A lot of his promises has already happened, as we read in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. But every promise that he has ever made to his people, he will fulfill those promises. And I thank him for that. And let's just pray that we can be closer to him each and every day. You know, in this world that we live in, it's changing. I mean, I'm getting up in years. From when I was a kid to now, you wouldn't believe how much it's changed. It changes more each and every day. But it's changed exactly the way that the Lord wants it to. And we are in his hands. His arms is wrapped around us. We are the sheep of his pasture. And he is our good shepherd. And the good thing about that is, he always will be. He always has been, and he always will be. And there's not nothing that can change that. Thank you.